Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
There are many things that jump out at me, especially when we read this many verses at one time. In fact, there are more things that jump out at me than we even have time to talk about. So I'll narrow it down to a few for today. The first thing that really jumps out to me is a question, and the question is this: who do you believe Jesus to be? Who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus a good moral teacher? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Is he healer? Is he Redeemer? Do you know him as the life? Do you know him as the resurrection? I pray that you know him in all these ways and even more. And I pray that as you are a Christian, that every day you live, you will more fully understand all that Jesus is. But maybe you're like Martha. I wonder if Martha was struggling a little here with who Jesus truly is. Look with me at verse 23 through 27 of our main text. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. But watch this. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." She saw him as the Christ. She saw him as the anointed one, as Messiah. But I'm not sure she really saw him as resurrection and life. I wonder if she struggled a little bit with this idea of Jesus being both life and resurrection. But here's the beauty. She believed. She believed. What do you believe about Jesus today? Do you trust him with your life? With all of your life? Do you trust him with this part of eternity, but you worry about the next part of eternity? My encouragement to you is this: trust Jesus with everything. Maybe you're like Martha. You struggle in an area, but Jesus is assuring you, "I am." In this case, life and resurrection. Maybe it's different in your situation, but know that he is those things that you need him to be, and trust him to be those things to you. The next thing that really sticks out to me is this: Jesus wept. It's a crucial reminder of God's nature and his deep understanding of humanity's suffering, of his understanding the sufferings that we all go through, and that his so wanting to intervene on our behalf. Scripture also says, "We have not because we ask not." And I wonder how many times we go through hardships all because we don't ask. God's there. Ask him. Talk to him. Let him speak to you. Hear what he's saying to you. Know that whatever hardship or joy, whichever you're going through, he's right there with you. He's going through with you. I believe when you are in those times of weeping, he understands every tear. And he can sympathize and empathize with us in ways that no human ever could. In verse 21, it says, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He would still be alive." You know, All of us at one time, if we have come to Christ in the free pardon of sin, we know what it is to be dead in sin, to be lost and undone without Jesus. But boy, when we ask him to be our Lord and our Savior, all that transformation takes place in our life. We're resurrected. We have new life because Jesus is resurrection and life. And all of a sudden, it starts on the inside and it just spills out. And it is a process throughout life. It may ebb and flow, but that's the Christian life. The thing is to continue to seek God's kingdom first, to continue to crucify your flesh daily, your desires daily, to surrender to Christ, to submit to his will, and watch his glory be victorious in your life. Because Christ has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Then in verse 39, we see Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." In the King James, I love it. Martha says, "He stinketh. There's a stench by now." But you know, that's us when we're lost and undone without Christ. Our righteousness stinks in the nostrils of God. Our good works, the things that we think are good, stink in the nostrils of God. It has to be Christ's imputed righteousness in our life. And impute is just an old English term that means charged to our account. So when we know Christ in the free pardon of sin, Christ's righteousness has now been charged to our account. And those old grave clothes that stink, we shed. And Jesus gives us this beautiful garment of salvation and beautiful robe of righteousness. And it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. Again, Jesus doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says that our righteousness is nothing but unclean rags, polluted garments. When we look at the Hebrew word that translates there to filthy rags, what it really truly means at the heart, if you look at the original Hebrew, basically it's rags that have been used for menstrual cycle. Those nasty rags, after they've been used, that's what our best works smell like in the nostrils of God. Think about that. We have to have Christ's imputed righteousness to our lives. But when we know Christ and the free pardon of sin, we have just that, his righteousness. What a glorious thought that is. So those old grave clothes that stink and smell fall off. And new garment of salvation and a new robe of righteousness is added. And in God's economy, we are beautiful. Again, in Christ Jesus. Another thing that jumps out at me in this story is this. We see Jesus advocating sort of the go-between between Mary and Martha and the Father. Look with me at our main text, verses 41 through 43. "So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out.'" He's advocating, and we understand that that's what Jesus, after his resurrection and his ascension, that's what he does for us daily. He's an advocate with the Father. He intercedes on our behalf to the Father. In fact, Romans 8:34 says, "Who is to condemn?" Question. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What a beautiful thought to know that daily Jesus is interceding on our behalf to the Father. And the final thing that I want to draw out of this today, again, for the sake of time, because there's so much going on in this narrative that we could talk about. But the last thing is this: Jesus sets us free. He sets us free. If we will allow Him, He will set us free. Look with me at verse 44 of our main text. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now I want you to notice something here. Jesus was already life and resurrection to Lazarus, but there was still one fundamental problem. What was that? He was still bound. He was still bound in these grave clothes, these grave cloths that held him back. Now, Lazarus could have been there at the tomb and said, "Oh no, I have life and resurrection through Christ. Now I'm happy," and just continued through life like this. And as bizarre as that seems, my fear is that some people come to Christ, ask Him to forgive them of their sins. He's faithful and just to do just that. But then they never let Jesus loose them and let them go. They sort of hop through life still bound by old things, not realizing that everything has been forgiven, past, present, future. It's all been wiped out. All. My encouragement to you is this: if there are things you're still struggling with, if you know Christ and you're still struggling, let Him speak to you. Loose them and let them go. Because in Christ, He wants you free so that you can be His hands extended in this world, so that you can be His feet extended in this world. Praise God if you know His salvation, if you know His life and His resurrection. But if you're still bound and you're hopping around, you're not going to be to the full potential God would have you. When Jesus says, "Loose them and let them go," be free. Be free. Be free. And all you need to do is ask Him. "Jesus, you know what I'm struggling with. You know those things that still have me bound, that still have me tied up. Jesus, please speak to those things. I want to be free so that I can serve You uninhibited, fully doing what You have called me to do." Sometimes I have to pray this prayer 2 or 3 times a day. I want you to understand that, because there are things that will just come at you, that will attack you, that will try to put those grave strips back on you and tie you up and bound you. And even though you know life and you've been resurrected, you sort of feel like you're hopping through life. Let Jesus free you. Ask Him and He's faithful and just to do just that. To free you, so that your hands and feet can be free to be His hands and feet in this world. Do you catch this morning? I pray you do. God is good. So if you've never experienced God's resurrection power, if you've never experienced the life that only Christ can give you, my encouragement to you today is this: ask Jesus. In your own words, right where you are, ask Him to save you, and He will. But also ask Him to loose you and let you go, so that you're no longer bound in those old grave things, that it's all shed. And if you feel that they're wanting to come back and bind you up, ask Him again to loose you and let you go, so that you can be what He has called you to be, so that you can do the work that He has called you to do.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection, so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.